and yes, absurd, even ridiculous, ammunition to aim against the monsters of modern madness. Yet what other ammunition do we have? We look at this collage and think, well, that little morning battle of making was won. And the Great War that will erase so many mornings in the following year still seems far away. The cataract of rushing modern time that provided energy for Picasso's own work seems to halt for once at the edge of the abyss. Living in time, the Cubist picture stops it.
Tonight's essay was presented by Adam Gopnik and produced in Bristol by Sarah Davies. And the essay is now available as a free download. Just go to the Radio 3 website and follow the link to the podcast page. This is BBC Radio 3. We're broadcasting between 90 and 93 on FM. We're on digital radio, and you can also listen to us live online in high-definition sound. It's 11 o'clock, and now Late Junction with Anna Hilda Nesset.
Anthony and the Johnsons as soaked in the analogue synth bath of One O' Trick's Point Never. Welcome to Late Junction with me, Anna Hilda Nassett. We've got a Late Junction session coming up in about 10 minutes. We'll hear an exclusive collaboration with Evan Parker and the Necks. But before that, here is Kirosh Yagmaye, the godfather of Iranian psychedelic rock.
Thank you. خودش چه کسی بود اینو از خودش میپرسی تو گریز و وحشت خود کسی که مونده غزاله لحظه ای از پا نشستن براش انگار که محاله
I wonder if Josephine Foster dreams in sepia colour. At least that's the colour scheme that comes to my mind when I listen to her gorgeous skewed country blues. That was a track from her latest album. You're listening to Late Junction and we have a treat in store tonight. Earlier this month, a special collaboration took place at our Maida Vale studios between four masters of improvisation. Saxophonist Evan Parker with Australian jazz trio The Necks, that's Chris Abrams on piano, Tony Buck on drums and Lloyd Swanton on double bass. Before we hear the half-hour-long track they came up with on their first ever recording session together, here they are to introduce it. First, Tony Buck.
Having known Evan for a considerable period, but never having played together, I thought that would be a nice thing to work together. And Evan's approach sonically, I thought, would be a very compatible element that would sort of fit in with the next idea without diluting what we do and kind of making a cohesive new extension of that.
I'd known Tony for a long time, and I'd met Lloyd in Bath and played with Chris in Bath briefly. And then, of course, the Necks, which is more than the sum of these three people, is a phenomenon and a very clear conception, and something that I felt, yeah, that would be a challenge to try and find a place for myself in there, but without pushing too hard to be Evan Parker and the Necks, or the Necks plus guest star Evan Parker, just to find a new working chemistry.
It felt very natural. It felt very comfortable. Yeah, I think there are a lot of sonic similarities. Well, I don't want to say it was how I thought it would be, but I felt we were kind of on the same page. It isn't always like that. I have to say, it's not often we play with other people. I think this is about the third time, but... It
wouldn't have worked with just anyone. It's very much what Evan does, which we admire and respect so much. And when you've spent 25 years establishing a trio sound, of course, it raises all sorts of questions about bringing in another element. But what Evan does is, we see it as very, very compatible with what we're doing, and it felt great.
We tend to play fairly lengthy pieces, I think, because we feel that there's a certain amount of time needed to get the music that we're trying to achieve up and running and give it the space to grow and get somewhere and then find resolution. And it tends to be around the 45-minute mark. I think there's a lot of elements at play, especially the sonorous interaction of the instruments. And sometimes that does take a while to fill the space with these sort of sounds. That sort of sounding out of a space, Evan and the Necks as an entity have overlapping areas where that's an element of what we do and what Evan does. And so, it takes that time.
Repetition comes into it, but there's also, and I think this is the similarity between the way we work, is that there are loops, but they're changing. The loops are slightly modified all the time. I think people listening will hear those kind of loops which don't repeat exactly. They sometimes do, and then they sometimes move elsewhere. And very often in a group situation where other people are also using that kind of technique, it's very easy to use something that somebody else does as a nudge to push you onto a new loop. So that's the way of listening to the music, I would say, is to hear the layering.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was the latest exclusive Late Junction session. Evan Parker on alto sax, teaming up with jazz trio The Necks, Chris Abrams on piano, Tony Buck on drums, and Lloyd Swanton on double bass. You can download that session on the Radio 3 website. You're listening to me, Anna Hilden-Essett. Now, to celebrate the start of the Ashes in The Necks' native Australia, here's Lord Beginner.
Cricket, lovely cricket, at last where I saw it. Cricket, lovely cricket, at last where I saw it. Yardley tried his best, Goddard won the test. They gave the crowd plenty fun, the second test on West Indies won. With those little pals of mine,
Lamadine and Valentine.
The king was there well attired, so they started with Ray and Stallmeyer. Stolly was hitting balls wrong the boundary, but Waddle stopped him at 20. Ray had confidence, so he put up a strong defense. He saw the king was waiting to see, so he gave him a century. With those little pals of mine,
Ramadine and Valentine.
West Indies first in total was 326, just as usual. When bets the bold Christiani, the whole thing collapsed quite easy. England then went on and made 151. West Indies then had 220 lead. Goddard said that is nice indeed. With those little pals of mine,
Ramadine and Valentine.
Yardley wasn't broken-hearted when the second inning started. Jenkins was like a target, getting the first five into his basket. But Gomez broke him down while Walcott licked them around. He was not out for 168, leaving Yardley to contemplate. The bowling was super fine,
Ramadine and Valentine.
West Indies was feeling homely, their audience had them happy. When Washbrook's century had ended, West Indies voices all blended. Hats went in the air, people shout and jump without fear. So at last was the scenery, it bound to go down in history. After all was said and done,
streaming all the past, and my heart was beating fast. I began to lose control. I began to lose control.
Atom Heart reworking the John Lennon classic from an album from 1998. And before that, we heard cricket fan Lord Beginner, Victory Test Match, from a compilation of Trinidadian Calypso from London. On the eve of the centenary of Benjamin Britten's birth, here are two short pieces for oboe and piano written in 1935. They're about insects. First the grasshopper and then the wasp. The oboist is Sarah Francis and the pianist is Michael Dussek.
Thank you. komona muda miase elena nona mboka ya madete pari okomona yango lelo na miso soki kolingi kokomana madete pari landaka nzila ya dilio zalaka na loboko ya yo ya mobali okomona pari yango na miso zalaka na loboko ya yo ya mobali okomona pari yango na miso okomona libanda kitoko okotala bandako kitoko ndenge na ndenge o bazali kosala okozwa kuna mbati ya kitoko ndenge nyonso lingi na yo kosala ambiance okomona bandako ya sika ndenge nano omoni na kati ya kongo te
Edwika de Paula singing Matete Paris from a compilation of Cubanismo from the Congo in the 1950s. And before that, a grasshopper and a wasp by Benjamin Britten. Here's another 10 Tricks Point Never remix. This time he is reworking Richard Young's Rotaine.
Thank you. Thank you.
The formidable cellist Okyung Lee, Kill Cot from her new album, and before that, a track from her Noisy Love Songs, dedicated to Francis Bacon's lover George Dyer. Trumpeter Wodada Leo Smith began composing the ambitious suite 10 Freedom Summers in 1977. It's a composition about civil rights movements in the US inspired by the segregation of his native Mississippi. And tonight starts a 3-day performance of this masterpiece at Cafe Otto in Dalston as part of the London Jazz Festival. Here's an extract of the first cycle called Defining Moments in America.
Thank you. Thank you.
10 Freedom Summers by Wodada Leo Smith, playing with the Southwest Chamber Music Ensemble and Leo Smith's own jazz quartet featuring drummers Faroa Aklef and Susie Ibarra, pianist Anthony Davis and bassist John Lindberg. We've come to the end of the programme tonight. You can listen again on our website and tune in next week when I'll be playing a selection of Pearl Ivy music and Terry Riley tributes. But here is Green Gartside and King Midas bidding you good night.
Truth be told is one of I'm John Shea, and welcome to BBC Radio 3 Through the Night. I'm starting today at the 2012 BBC Proms, where the National Youth Orchestra of Great Britain paid their annual visit with a full programme that some adult orchestras might well balk at. We'll hear two items from it this morning, and to prove my point, Messiaen's Turangalila Symphony, all 75 minutes of it, was just one of them. The title comes from two Sanskrit words. Turanga is time, movement or rhythm, and Leela is love, but also divine play, the play of creation, destruction and reconstruction. Wagner's Tristan and Isolde, with its themes of love and death, was part of Messiaen's inspiration, and his large orchestra includes the unique sound of the Ond Martineau, an electric instrument played here by Cynthia Miller, and the virtuoso solo piano part played by Joanna McGregor. Vasily Petrenko conducts. As Malcolm Hayes' prom programme note reminded us, at its premiere in 1949, the new symphony astounded its first audiences with its hectic invention, fearless decibel level, total lack of inhibition, and its sense of joyful excess.